Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for your invitation, for your patience in advance, because our accent maybe will be difficult for some of you. Thank you so much, Pastor Ken, elders, and body of Christ. We, Nahida and I, appreciate to invite us. We really miss you. I like to greet you in our own language, marhaba, Syrianic language. Marhaba means God is love. God is love. Just memorize this word. So today I would like to share with you Gospel of Mark. So let me, before introduce myself and for ourselves and my family. Here we have two grandsons, Emmanuel and Lucas. This is our daughter, Angel, our son, Tony, and her husband, Majd. Yeah, as Brother Keith mentioned about, we have been here since 2016, and we spent long time in Lebanon among Muslims. So our ministry focused for a long time to bring the gospel to Muslims, and God gave us too many families in Lebanon and Syria. So before I start, I would like also to share with you about Muslims in Edmonton. The percentage of Muslims right now, 9.8% of all population of Edmonton. That means, and the rate of increasing, and you know, every year for Muslims, he give birth every year. And we have saying in Arabic countries, we said, if God blessed you, give you many children. And here in Canada, most of friends of Muslims say, really, here God give a baby and give with him a treasure. So therefore, they are very encouraged to give birth and to be, I don't know, too many people. So I encourage youth to give birth. Please, we need. So for my daughter, just 3 years, she gave two kids, and I encouraged her. But Angel, she's tired, right? So let's back to the text, please. Oh, I have, sorry. Oh, I'm confused a little bit. Okay, here. Okay. Today I would like to share with you this topic. So how many of you think or believe that we live in the end of the time? How many? All of us. So in Arabic we say Hadith as-sa'a, that means talk of the clock or talk of the hour. I don't know in English how much, but too many people think about, yeah, maybe anytime Jesus will come or he is coming. So therefore, I try to share with you a little bit. I know you can teach me, but just to remind and encourage you. So I like to read just 7 or 8 verses. As Jesus was sitting on the mountain of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And that will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled." Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceive you. Many will come in my name, claiming, I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over the local councils and flagged in the synagogues. When on account of you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them, and this most important, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living word. We pray that you would touch our hearts today, this morning, to encourage us, to teach us, to remind us that you are coming. We don't know any time. We ask you to be ready. We seek you to fill our hearts with your wisdom. Let us watch out. Let us be ready for suffering for your name. Let us be wise at this difficult time. I do pray for each one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I think here we have Jesus talk about the end of the times. At same times, for verses 1 and 2, therefore I try to jump to focus on our topic today. Jesus was talking about the destruction of the temple. So here we can ask this question. How do you prepare, or do we prepare for the second coming? Some people said, okay, I think it's easy to just to pray or just to relax and waiting, like people of Thessalonians, if you remember what they did. They thought Jesus is coming maybe 10 years or 20 years or something. So, but here, Jesus talk about two things. He talks about near future, about destruction of temple, and about far future, about last days. So, I would like to share this saying. Someone said, if you really want to be like Jesus by saying him, when he comes, you will pursue being like him now. So Colossians 3:4, the Holy Spirit says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen? So, four times in this passage, four times Jesus gave alarm to us. Four times Jesus warned his disciples not to be led astray by false claim. He said, watch out that no one deceive you. False prophet. Now, if you look around you, how many people, they follow false teaching? How many people? In Edmonton, we have neighbor, when we arrived, maybe 2 years ago, someone from our neighbors came to us and shared with us about Jesus. The first sight, maybe something is right. Then when we ask them about, do you have another book beside Bible? They said, yes, we have. Sure. I said, okay, who are you? And they shared, we are Mormon. And this first time we heard about this kind of people. They are very, very active people. Every Saturday, they try to knock the door and share gospel. And unfortunately, many of our neighborhood, even Christian, they open the door and say, oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So watch up. Now it's difficult time. We have to wake up to watch out. Oh, something. Sorry. Back, please. Oh, technology. We have a problem with it. Okay. How can we prepare? We can prepare by watching up. Be on your guard and be discerning. So I try to look at some verses here. But what is very, very important to me to know that we have to focus on Jesus, on the living word, not any teaching. So if you want to keep yourself, your children, your youth, your teens, please stick in the word of God. Stick. Be very close to the true teaching at this time. So here's some verses, but I want to focus on hope. Don't lose hope. So Titus said, blessed hope. Some religions, they don't have hope. If anybody ask Muslims about the life after his death, he doesn't have any hope. Do you know most of them? They have one answer. I don't know. God knows. God knows. There's no hope. I don't know how people live without hope. So Jesus came to give us a blessed hope, and that's what we needed. So prepare, yeah, the first thing, prepare in be closing to the word. And the second thing, okay, we can prepare by being ready for suffering. How many times Jesus said, you will suffer for me? The first man who promised him who in the Bible when he was in his road to Damascus? Saul, Paul. So all of us, Nahida and I, we were suffering 15 years in Lebanon among Muslims. But God always encouraged us by his blessed hope. So the last one, we'll talk today about how do prepare. By working and ministering faithfully for Christ. If we go back to the text, therefore I try to jump on some verses. But before I change to this point, I'd like to share with you about some false Messiah who came to our lives, unfortunately. Last 40 years, only 40 years, do you know how many false Messiah? At least in the U.S., three. So three false Messiah has appeared last 40 years. In 1978, someone claimed he is Messiah. His name was Jim Jones. And nearly 800, I think some of you knows about, nearly 800 from his followers killed by drunk poison. So there's no blessed hope. It was a mass suicide in Guyana. It was terrible things. Then in 1993, 80 people were killed in Texas in a fire that, yes, exactly, thank you, killed his followers. His name is David Koresh. I don't know, like Qureshi or something, it's Pakistani or something, who claimed to be Messiah. Finally, in 1997, over 30 people suicide among followers of Heaven Gate. And I remember this. Yeah, TV came, CNN, and take some picture. So look, what's the result? When people follow like this false Messiah, what's the result? Hell. Hell. So the last thing I would like to share about this point. Be working and ministering faithfully for Christ. So I like this saying, the Master has given us all the Holy Spirit, all of us, the Holy Spirit, and he has provided us with everything such as power, gifts, resources, abilities, money, relationships. We need to witness and to him. Acts, you shall receive. Yeah. So sometimes during our visit to Syria last summer, we said to our people, look, here we have the Holy Spirit and we have the Bible and we have the encouragement to share people. It's really, we don't have money to help people, but we have something, it's more expensive, hope. And when we share with people about Jesus, some of them said, please give us bread, give us gas, give us something. But it's difficult to provide all people about these things. But we ask them, look to him, to his hand, not to us, to his hand. He will provide you. So the last thing, just remember, we are an profitable servant. We have done that which was our duty to do. Yes. Yes, we are, really. So by three things I would like to focus on from this message today. How do we prepare for the second coming? So I would like briefly to share about our ministry. Some of you maybe know about, we still have part of our hearts to people in Syria and Lebanon. And last summer, we went and we spent more than 2 months, and God blessed us. So here the area, I don't know if you can see where is our ministry in Syria, in the middle homes here. It's difficult to maybe maximize. Anyway, here, this picture, homes before the war, homes 2010, before just 1 year. Here, same area, but look what happened after the war. Destroyed anywhere, anywhere. And here's the area where we live, Wadi al-Nasara, Christian Valley. So many people came from different cities where ISIS killed the people and live in this area, where the majority from Christian background. Christian means Orthodox, Catholic, different denomination. Here we started with a Muslim family for a long time, discipleship, care of them. And when we visited them last summer, they asked us to get baptized. And after just 1 or 2 days, they have two daughters, I think 14 or 10 years, 14, and they ask us to baptize them also. So all family get baptized. But the problem in Syria, they still some churches afraid from Muslims. If I came to pastor and ask him, please, we have a Muslim family, they like to get baptized. He said, no, please. I afraid the relatives or some come and do something bad. So we try to baptize them at the bathroom. And as you see here, Nahida and I. And what happened this last one? And the man, the old man here, he's the father of all this family. And he has maybe 15, they are church, 15 or 16, between children and grandchildren. Most of them, or all of them, they are Christian now. They are Christian. And he was an imam in mosque in Syria. So we try to have a relationship with the Latin priest who works in this area, Wadi al-Nasara. And we try to build a relationship with him, friendship, and he was open to help us and to help some Christian family. So here, this family, we have four generations. The woman here, she's 96 years old, and she was sick, and she asked Nahida to pray for her. And 1 week, God healed her. So now she has, I don't know how many grandchildren, maybe 15, 16. Also, we started a Bible study with them, this family. And we still connect online with them. So here we have different things that God put in our heart. Evangelism, discipleship, baptism, help some people, encouraging the churches. Nahida and I, we visited two churches in Homs, in the city, and we talked with pastor to go out and share gospel with people. And we thank God right now. Too many people came to Christ from Muslim background by this way. Here, just to have a look about the situation in Syria. I don't know if some of you follow the news. Right now in Syria, there's no gas, no electricity, nothing. So, for example, Nahida and I, when we wake up here in Canada, and we thank God for this grace. So don't take for granted. If you go to Syria just 1 day, Nahida and I, when wake up, we go to bathroom, no water. You have to ask someone. And maybe we'll come after 3 hours. Okay, no power. Refrigerator, nothing. You have to bring just food for every single day. There's no power. Refrigerator like library or something. So look here, people came maybe to last century, maybe 70 years ago. Nobody, grandmother maybe, they used this one. But people now, they go back to use it because there is no gas, no gas in Syria. Here's some of destruction here. ISIS, before he left any place and can, yeah, any place, they tried to burn everything. If he couldn't destroy the cement or something, they tried to burn. Just like kind of evil deed. So here, the church here in Homs, they try to destroy the gate, and on the gate there's a cross. They try to hit the cross, but look what happened. The bomb maybe blow up beside. So here they try to fell down the cross inside the Catholic Church here. So ISIS, they hated the cross. If anybody look at the cross, they try to destroy or, yeah, they don't like to see the cross. Here some of our group, they don't have electricity. They are very, very happy to use the mobile with flash because it's difficult to recharge. So that's big issue. And here, Nahida and his friends, this family, they also, they don't have gas. They try to cut some tree, some branches, wood, and sometimes bring some curtains or cardboard or something. For heating now, they use anything. Shoes put on the oven or something. It's miserable. Yeah. This just some, yeah, photo. Our team in Syria, here we have a team who works. This sister, very, very amazing woman. She was part of our church in Homs, and she teach at Sunday school at our church. But now she started at her house Bible study or something here in Homs. This group in Wadi Nasara, it's far away from Homs, around 15 kilometers. Here also we have Bible study with women. Here's a picture with our team in Lebanon for a long time. This family from Muslim background, most of them get baptized 2 years ago. And this from our church. And these guys from Navigators. Or our team in Lebanon. So what now, briefly, sorry for late. Here we started a new group here in Edmonton. So we started ministry with Muslims. Reem, she's Lebanese, the origin Lebanese. She came to Christ before 1 year. Yasmin and Amjad, we started Bible study. She came to Christ before, but we try to disciple them every Saturday. And because I'm still working at All Nation Center as a part-time, I met with some Muslims, and this is an imam, sheikh. His name is Ahmed. Please pray for him. He's opened. He has finished from John, the Gospel of John, and he has some questions. And here our group, Yamin, and his family, Khirallah. And here we started with Canadian. Nahida and I, I'm not sure. Last year, I shared with you about to pray for Canadian who has a vision to go to Muslims and to share the gospel. And God gave us this guy, Sonic, and two another Canadian, and we are very, very glad for being part of our team. Here, Nahed and I, we would like to say thank you so much, Body of Christ. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your generosity to provide our ministry in